Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Alan.
And welcome to Dice Over Everything, the Miniatures Gaming Podcast.
So I heard you've been playing Baldur's Gate 3 lately, and I've seen other people play it, and I've heard rumors that it's basically a soap opera. Is this true?
Well, I just keep on replaying the first 4 hours, so I'm not quite sure, but as I understand it, in the same way that a lot of the fantasy movies and stuff are soap operas.
Okay, so the whole genre, you think?
Because
I'm just thinking
like,
of D&D.
Mm-hmm. Like one of the biggest things that we enjoy in our nerd genres is literally called space opera, right? So it's not like most of the stories that we have read, especially since childhood, if you look back. If they continued longer than just a set book, it's not like they are not soap operas, basically.
All the characters have drama between them.
Yeah.
But they kind of resolve it in the space opera by having their giant space fleet come after the other giant space fleet.
Yeah, oftentimes not even. Look at Star Wars, mm-hmm. right? So there is in the background, them just like at the very Return of the Jedi, spoilers, there's a fight in the where they kill the Death Star 2, but the main drama is actually where Darth Vader and Luke patch things up in a fight, and then they have a huge, you know, everything, emotional battle, really. And the ending of the story is when Luke Skywalker finally, you know, Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader finally make up. That's the climax of the story.
It sounds like D&D might be a soap opera, basically, too, except you make up the soap opera as you go.
Yeah, of course. It's fun.
This might be why I don't play any of these RPGs or watch soap operas.
You watch so many soap operas. All of those TVs that are going on for a long time, like Rebels mm-hmm. and stuff, those are soap operas. Humanity. The reason why soap operas mm-hmm. are like they are is because they give people what they want, and people like human drama.
Yeah, I need a higher percentage of explosions.
Fair enough.
On the note of things that can cause explosions,
what I like in soap mm-hmm. operas is explosions.
Mm-hmm, exactly. All right. On the note of causing explosions, we'll see what spells we decide to take that can cause explosions in this episode
of Frostgrave 101. We are finally at the last school to analyze, which is the witch.
Yeah, last round of Frostgrave, we played the campaign of Maze of Malkor.
Mm-hmm.
I played a witch, and I don't know, after going through some of the stuff we're going to talk about today, maybe I played the witch wrong, but you know, I won, so.
I could have won, but mm-hmm. I wanted to go in hard.
Yeah.
You find that, like, once you play a lot of Frostgrave, winning is secondary to just having stuff happening. Because everyone kind of wins because you're leveling up and stuff, assuming your wizard doesn't die, at the end. So mm-hmm. really, the person who wins, like you did killing... Oh, you didn't even kill him.
I got his treasure.
Got the final treasure. You had all of us kill him, which is the fun part. And then you came in afterwards and like, thanks for killing him, suckers.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's how you ought to play as a thieving, greedy wizard. Or witch, sure. In my case. Anyhow, so I guess we're going to do what we usually do and go through the witch's spells. Mm-hmm. Give him some grades from A, B, C, and then the F tier ones.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, take a look at the complementary schools and see what we would choose from those to sort of put together a good package of spells, and then mm-hmm. and get into the aligned schools to sort of finish the whole thing off.
Yep, with some soldiers to have a complete beginner warband if you're starting off. And then last thing, of course, is rating the witch as a whole. All right, without further ado, let's start looking through the spells. So the first spell is Animal Companion. So this is an out-of-game spell, TN10. We've mentioned this spell a lot. So what it does is if you cast this, you're able to replace one of your regular chumps So not your specialist soldiers, but your normal soldiers, with a bear, a snow leopard, a wolf, or an ice toad. And that might as well just stop at bear.
Yeah, the bear is where the money's at, just in terms of health, in terms of +4 fight. It's
the money. It has a giant cool picture, and the other guys don't, because we all know that the bear is the real badass. It's basically, here's the picture for those who are watching this on YouTube. And they basically buffed the bear from the original one, so they gave him +2 armor, which makes him ridiculous. On top of that, the one weakness of the bear is he has no will, but Animal Companion gives you +3 will for your Animal Companion version. So, what do you think?
This was amazing, because now in your standard soldiers, instead of being stuck with +3 fight and less health, you can now just get a +4 fight guy. I mean, you can't pick up treasure, and now you can use the rest of your slots for, say, rangers and stuff like that for your specialist soldiers. And you cast this. This is out of game casting too, if you didn't mention that part. So you don't. You did very good. It's key, and you keep it between games. So at some point, hopefully, you accumulate 2 of them, which I did in the last round. And you can just be reckless with these, because normally something with +4 fight, that's going to cost you 100+ gold. Mm-hmm. This didn't cost you any gold, and you could just roll up another one the next game, hopefully. So it's just, you can be reckless with this in a way you normally wouldn't be with +4 fight guys. So
I totally agree. So what's your rating?
A. I was almost like, should this be contemplated as S? But I think it's just A, because you can get +3 fight guys.
So I guess the difference with the strongest fight guys you have in the regular soldiers are the infantrymen, because he's fight 3 with 200 weapons, so he does +2 damage. Yep. And then the other one is the man-at-arms, which is somewhat closer than to the animal companion, i.e. bear, because it has 12 armor and 12 life and +3 fight, but it doesn't have the strong, so the +2 damage. So those are close, but like you said, that's one is 50 gold, one is 75 gold, and both of them still don't fight as well as a bear, because a bear has 14 health as well, if we didn't mention 4 fight, +2 damage, and 12 armor. This guy is like a beat stick, and the one negative is that two negatives, he's an animal. He moves 6 still. He's an animal, so he can have issues of getting controlled with control animal. Also, he can't pick up treasure, which is probably the biggest thing. Yeah. And then the other thing is he's large, so he gets -2 fight when getting shot. But he still has 12 armor and 14 life, so he's still pretty resilient. That's actually, of the guys that you can control, like take, I think the only thing tougher that you can control base, or like without magic weapons and stuff, is the large construct, which I believe is 13 armor, 14 life. Okay. But it's like speed 4.
Yeah, that's a big drawback. Your enemies can kind of run away from that. And
specialist soldier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I agree. Just being able to get this bear is like, it's really strong. It's a huge buff.
A bear. No. You're
so 2 bears.
2 bears, one for your apprentice, one for your wizard, hopefully.
Yes. So that is really strong.
Especially early in the campaign.
Oh, early in the campaign.
You now just have like two really good.
But fighters. Even later on, they're still good, right? Because even though they don't have magical treasures, so you can't buff them up, their stat lines are like they have magical treasures already. In fact, multiple ones, especially compared to normal soldiers. So I would say this is A+. I'd say this is really close. It's TN10 as well. So like, I almost, when I think about it, this is one of those spells that should go up in ability. This should be a TN12, so it's more limited to the witch and the related schools, as opposed to TN10, which means that it's a lot easier to get even at +4, right? Just to take the spell, right? So to get your bears.
if you've listened to our podcast for the Summoner, it's basically about creating the Demon Bear. There's other builds, but we're like,
yeah,
you can build a Demon Bear if you have a Summoner just by getting the bear, buffing it up in game, and being having plus like 8 fighter or something, just insane. Yeah,
plus 8 and, fight, 13, 14 armor or something like that.
Yeah. So, anyways, incredibly good.
Yeah, so I'd say A plus.
Yeah. There's ways of getting close to it with regular soldiers, but it's not the same. It's like has the extra level to it. Yeah,
you
have to
get special soldier, right? So like technically you probably get a knight or a templar that is better, but that's a lot more gold, right? Generally you're going to have that guy plus like $100 or $200 gold or magical weapon to make them equivalent to a bear. Or, sorry, better than a bear. So that is a lot more investment.
All right. On the note of more out-of-game things.
Brew Potion. So this is a TN12 out-of-game spell before as well. And basically this allows you to, if you succeed, brew any of the normal potions. And wow, there are some good potions that you can get. So do you want me to read off some potions so people kind of have an idea, or you want to just start talking about it?
Well, there's the whole thing where you can brew greater potions, but you've got to pay for their ingredients and you might fail. Yeah, I think that's a trap. So
yes, all of those are overly balanced, so they all suck, in my opinion. Like, none of them are as good as some of the normal potions that you can get, because, like I said, there's some really good normal potions. Why would you pay money for, like, a free good potion? Did you want to talk about some good potions, or?
You know what a good potion is? The one you can sell for 200. That is a good potion, because 200 will now start buying you magical items and other stuff like that, depending on how you're working your store. So what is it?
Potion of Preservation.
There you go.
Which is a garbage potion, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A potion of preservation means that if someone dies, you can hold them for a while. Except that, like, for, I think, 3 or 4 turns or something like that, or 3 or 4 games. Except for that, you can't actually revive them unless you find a scroll of resuscitation or...
So you need to combine this with a bright scroll?
You need to find...
Somehow? What?
The spell. It's the Thaumaturge spell.
You
need to have Miraculous Cure. You need to use Miraculous Cure. Oh, wait! No, you can't, because the scroll doesn't even work for Miraculous Cure, I believe. Oh, no, it doesn't work for wizards?
Anyhow.
No.
Who has right scroll?
You can't use the scroll. You literally have to have Miraculous Cure and cast it, which makes it basically useless. If you think about it in-game, it makes no sense it would be this expensive unless it was used for funeral rites, that people would use this spell... use this potion, like we use embalming, so that people could have proper a proper funeral
before. So it's the most expensive funeral. I get it. Okay, sure.
So this in game, that's the only reason this thing should be so expensive, because otherwise it's garbage. But it's basically use brew potion, get 200 gold, which is crazy.
Yeah. So were there other potions you think are good combo things with the witch?
God, so many good potions. Here's one. There's a potion of invisibility.
That's huge. Yeah.
Yes. So you can have a guy run up, grab it, use his potion of invisibility, and run off. There's a potion of teleportation.
Yeah, because normally you have to touch the guy to make him invisible. Now he could run up, grab the treasure, then chug the potion.
Exactly. There's a potion of teleportation. So you can teleport.
I'm just debating whether you want that 200 gold or whether, but you could sell the potion. But if you've used it in the game, you can't sell it anymore. That's the problem. Like, should you be just selling every game? I don't know.
Well, there's a certain point. If you want to win games, potion of teleportation, get treasure. Potion of teleportation, potion of invisibility will do that.
Yeah, but so what? Isn't maybe you could buy
tomes.
Better stuff?
You want tomes? Depends. Obviously, it depends on what you're trying to do, right? Yeah. So there, and you get more XP for it too.
Oh yes,
you get 40 XP if you get the treasure. So these are really good. I think you want to balance those out, selling potions, preservations to funerals. with potions of teleportation and invisibility and potions of strength.
So start selling those preservation potions until you get all your specialist soldiers you wanted. Then you get your bears rolled up too.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm seeing the strategy.
There's a potion of fire breathing, which gives you a magical +3 shoot, which that's could be useful. There's a potion of strength, which just gives you, it's not the strength potion. It's not strength. It's +1 fight for the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they say it can't stack.
It's not the strength spell, so it's
there's just also toughness, different. Which is +1 armor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. There's also, there's so many good items you can buy, depending on how you're running the store, that I'm just like, just rake in the cash and buy some like cool or permanent stuff rather than just chugging a potion for once a game, because then your warband is just more blinged out. That's what you gotta
go for. So it obviously depends, right? So to me, at the beginning, you're basically doing gold teleportation and invisibility to win treasures.
Mm-hmm.
And then later in the game, once you've blinged out everyone, you're using probably more strength, toughness. You're probably still using invisibility, honestly, and teleportation, right? Like, we can talk about combos afterwards.
Well, even just keeping on your wizard, the invisibility potion, they run at you and you're like, oh, I'm surrounded? Crack the invisibility.
That's true.
And you're good to go.
That's true. Actually, you can still drink.
You can play really aggressive if you
engaged,
have that going.
Right?
Pardon?
You can't cast spells, but you can still drink potions.
Oh, in combat.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure you can still drink. So in teleportation makes more sense. Invisibility doesn't allow them to engage you, but if they're already engaged, you're still engaged.
Yeah, but you can get really aggressive and when they run at you, you just crack the potion and get out. I'm not sure our build here is gonna be aggressive, but it's a consideration for anyone thinking of building like a very up the board wizard.
Yeah. Anyhow. So this thing is useful all the way through. The only thing, well, yes, because you can always just get 200 gold from it.
Yeah, and there's you get stuff from the market. Like,
so even if you blinged out everyone and you don't need the potions to use them technically, you just sell funeral rites potions for 200 gold a piece. Yeah. So what would you say?
Oh, this is an easy A. Just easy.
Yeah, for me. 200 gold every single time you cast it is crazy.
I'm comparing it to the embed enchantment that I'm currently using with the enchanter. It's like, that's a two-stage process. I need to cast this in the game.
Yeah,
then I
but
need
then
to
you
embed
could
it.
Also get your enchanted weapons, which is
yeah,
like
which are worth
amazing.
500 in hand rather than worth 200. You're like, yeah, you're actually trying to sell the potions to then buy those magic weapons, but instead you're like, oh no, I just get the weapon right away, which is worth more like 500. So yeah, it's not two stages for the embed enchantment, but it requires two spell slots. So
yeah, I do think that the fact that preservation costs 200 should be like a 150 or something like that. It shouldn't, or 100. So you have, even if they didn't have that, I think the next potion is 130, which would still be fine, honestly.
Yeah. Selling scrolls doesn't rake you in this much money.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Or just make the potion of preservation more useful. that could be a thing too.
The potion to rule them all.
Maybe 200 gold is still too much. Anyways.
Okay.
An A probably getting close because like you said, not two stage. Getting close to like an A+ as well.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, obviously in a campaign. Simply because of those resources coming in, and then and because it's so strong, we think there should probably be a slight nerf, right, with that potion of reservation.
Yeah.
So it probably is getting close to an A+, but I think Animal Companion is better.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Animals.
All right. Speaking of animals, the next one is Control Animal. So this is a TN-12 line of sight, and if you cast it on an animal. And if the animal fails the roll, which is against the TN of the spellcast, so either TN-14 or higher, if you roll it higher, you get to control the animal forever. Well, for the full game.
Yep.
It becomes yours for the full game. So what do you think about this spell?
So they're in the basic bestiary. A lot of those things are animals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's definitely situations where you can use this. This isn't, so I'm not, This is not corner case, I would say.
Yes.
The thing is, there's a spell called Mind Control out there, which is clearly probably better, but Control Animal, they don't roll every turn to try and break out, whereas if you Mind Control them, the animal would keep trying to break out.
Yep.
So it's a pretty good advantage to that one. And maybe somebody else has brought Animal Companion. I mean, you can't bank on that, but in the course of a game, some animals might show up. But you kind of
can, because Animal Companion is so strong.
Yeah, exactly. So if you have a whole bunch of people in your campaign, maybe you're taking their superpowered bear. Maybe they're playing Summoner and they built the Demon Bear like we talked about. And they're like, oh my god, you have Control Animal. So...
Yep. They have to be more cagey. So that's why we said when you take your Demon Bear, you need to have the spell. Yeah. But if they're smart about it, they can try and take your bear and then run him, even just take control of it and run him out of line of sight of their wizards so that they can't take it back.
Yep.
And now they just use the bear's defense. Mm-hmm. And unlike mind control, they're not afraid of the bear breaking out unless you cast a spell on it. So it's quite useful.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think this isn't like an every game spell. So I don't think I can give it an A, but when it comes up, you're like, oh yeah, that was really good to have. And I took it when I built the witch in our last campaign. I took this spell because I knew people were playing the bear game.
Yep.
I'm just like, yeah, this is going to be good. So but it's a B.
Yeah, I'd say it's a B. I think that, like you said, because bear animal or bear companion is... Mm-hmm. So popular, plus the fact that in the main book there's a lot of animals that show up randomly, but the random monsters are, there's a lot of them are animals. It means you'll see a lot more animals than basically any of the other ones, except for maybe undead, right? However, if you're playing one of the longer campaigns where there's less animals, the charts are different, Control Animal maybe is not as good as it is normally, so it might drop to a C. But the other thing that makes Control Animal good is that there's a lot of strong animals without high willpower. Whereas if you take Control Demon, demons have high willpower, and a lot of the strong undead have high willpower, so it's harder to take control of them. Whereas Control Animals, like most of the animals have like max 3, like the bear has 0, so when he's an animal companion, he has 3 willpower, he's still very controllable. Whereas if you're trying to control a greater demon at plus 5 or something like that, like or 6 or something like that, it's a lot harder.
Yep. Anyhow, all right. I think it's pretty basic. It's not too complicated for this spell.
Yeah, it's probably the best of the control spells if you're thinking about just using the main book or anything that uses the main book chart.
Oh, for controlling beasts, things in the bestiary. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, next one is Curse. So this is a TN8 line of sight. You cast it on an enemy, and they immediately suffer -2 to all die rolls. And at the end of each turn, they can make a will test. And if they succeed against the TN of whatever you cast it on, which is normally 14, then it's canceled. However, the curse affects the will roll. Yep. So they're actually, unlike a lot of the other spells, trying to get rid of curse is a -2 to their will roll. So, and it automatically goes off. So what do you think about this spell?
I mean, if this were in a different school, I'd be like, yeah, this is really good. Because if you're trying to like mind control people or something, you just want to make them weaker in fights and just like debuff them. But the witch has so many other spells and things to do. So I don't want that to cloud my judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But like taking away 2 fight from your enemy, like you're willing to cast a spell that gives you +2 fight, so that seems good. But now you've taken away -2 on everything they've got effectively. So I mean, there's things you can do with it, and like I said, if this was in somebody else's school, I would probably be likely to take it. So I don't want that to, as I said, cloud the judgment. So I would give it a B, but in we've already named a bunch of A's, so who knows if you're ever going to use this.
I really like this spell. Like, when you cast it on someone, they're -2 to fight, right?
Yep.
So that's a big deal in and of itself to cast on. They cannot defend it. It automatically happens. They only test at the very end of the round. So you cast it on a guy who's good at fighting. He's minus two to fight. You rush in and try to kill him. And then only then can he try to shake it off. Right?
Yeah.
So this is good, but it also affects shooting guys. So you can cast this against guys with bows and they become worse at shooting. It's mm-hmm. just really, really versatile, and especially casting it on spellcasters, which means they are minus two to try to cast their spell. And then if they, even though they can try to shake the curse by like cutting themselves, mm-hmm. that's two more that they have to cut, right? Which is two more damage. And we know in Frostgrave, like life is a resource. That's two damage that they might not actually have the resources to actually do. So to me, I really like Curse, but I agree because it doesn't totally debilitate the person. This feels like you need to follow up. So it's a two-stage process. So unlike Blinding Light or Mind Control, you generally need to follow up with something, right? But this can also really weaken things like combining. There's so many spells that you would want to use with Curse. Right? Like if you have a demon, we just said it has high willpower, like a greater demon, it's hard to take control. You can try to curse it so that it doesn't kill all the guys it's in melee with, and then you can try to control demon it afterwards, right? Which makes it easier to control, which again is a two-stage process, but it's just mm-hmm. so versatile, right? Yeah. And it's only TN8, so really easy to cast. But at the same time, because it's a two-stage process, I still think it ends up being around a B. You could probably build around Curse, but you can't just take this one spell and be like, yeah, I'm done.
Yep.
Unlike Mind Control or Animal Companion.
Yeah, I'm forced, like you said, I'm forced to compare it to Blinding Light, and I'm like, it's not quite Blinding Light levels of debilitation, so.
But it is, again, you don't have to do a will, you don't have to fail willpower roll to get on, so it's very consistent and very good.
Yeah,
I'd say it's high B. All right.
Let's see.
Familiar is a TN10 out of game before, and it's really simple. You get plus two health at the start of the game, and it stays with you. Like, you only have to cast it once and it stays with you until you drop to one health or less, and then the next game you'd have to recast. Oh, then you lose that extra two max health, and then you have to recast it for the next game.
It sounds like you have to cast it every game. At the start of the next game, the spellcaster reverts. Oh, that's part of the if statement. It's confusing to read. It depends if you consider the next part sentence as a component of the if. It makes more sense.
I think it makes more sense because it says, like, reduced to one health or less. Like, it would only make sense then if it's reduced to one health. Because if it's less, your wizard is gone for that game, right?
Yep.
So.
Yeah, this. So what occurs to me is this is you're playing at the edge here if you're playing over two health. I mean, sure, you've got more health is always good. Like, casting heal is good. But mm-hmm. this is one of those things where you're like, you're assuming you're going to be playing at the edge. But then again, it's also out of game.
But so, it also means you're also two health further from the edge,
mm-hmm.
wherever you are.
Yeah, so if you decide to cut yourself for a couple damage, you're not close to being low. Mm-hmm. Like, the spell, you could do this for your wizard and for your apprentice.
Yep.
This is also one of the things where I think it lets you play more aggressively. It lets you play a bit more aggressively.
It's two extra health.
I know. Two extra health is good. Like, healing is five health, but you've got to cast it in the game.
Yep.
And this
but
is like...
Familiar is two health, but only for your witch or wizard, whereas where, you know, healing, mm-hmm. you can cast it on
another. Can be game. Anyone, yeah. So... I don't want to give this a C because it's C's are like useful in very corner situations, so it's not a C.
This is always useful, I think.
Yeah, because it keeps going too. Like it's an out of game that's useful. It's just it's like a B.
Yeah, I think this is a solid B.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you, I don't know if you would take this at the beginning. Like it's you could, right? But there's mm-hmm. so many other spells. Like this is not necessarily changing the way you play. it just gives you more of a buffer, more of an ability to do things. You could think about it as, you could also think about it as once per game, like if you cast this, once per game you can upgrade a spell by two. You can like increase your roll by two, right? That's basically what it's giving you, right? The two health. So it's good, but I don't think it's so good that you would build around it. And it's not like an A like the other things we talked about, but you would always be happy to have the spell, right? Yeah, this is good. And it you could tie it into helping you win a game from having that two health to cut where you're not, where it's not dangerous. Mm-hmm. But I feel like because it's that's basically it. So just a solid B, I feel like.
Yep.
All right. The next one, Fog. So this is a TN8 with a line of sight, and you place a 6-inch long, 3-inch high, 1-inch thick fog anywhere in line of sight, which is technically 24 inches. Actually, it all has to be within 24 inches. So technically, this is more than just line of sight. The maximum is 24 inches, including the fog. Usually with a thing, you can cast something in line of sight and then have it extend out. But this one, everything has to be within 24 inches. So basically, it just blocks line of sight. And then on a 1-4 at the end of a round, it disappears.
Yep.
So what do you think about this one?
I think I want to talk about how I built my fog, but I'm not going to. Okay, maybe I will. It's basically just like I took two posts out of popsicle sticks, attached them to some bases, and then actually strung the cotton material between them so you can kind of roll the whole thing up so it packs into a nice small spot. Anyways, gotta pretty mention cool. that. Also, you should make two because you have a wizard and an apprentice who can both cast one.
Technically, you can cast an unlimited amount.
What? No. Yeah. No, I thought I went away.
No.
Oh, wow.
You can you can do more.
So this is not like the wall spell where you can only have one per caster. I believe the wall is only one per caster. Is it not?
No. You can cast unlimited walls too.
Yeah. Okay. You can really get to work on building the wall. So
you've been holding yourself back all this time.
Yeah.
Not me.
So anyways. I guess
it's all the time.
Oh, yeah. This I took last time. Especially when you play multiple player games. Like we've talked before. Playing Frostgrave with like 3 to 4 people. Best way to play the game.
Yeah.
And because in that situation, you've now got people beside you who could just like, you think normally with a 1-on-1, you've got terrain in between each other. Now if somebody's beside you, that can get really nasty for them just shooting you from the side. So having fog in those situations to kind of like keep the hostilities down.
Yeah.
Just so you're not just like having stray shots going and killing each other's guys. Very useful. Just,
yeah, totally.
And if you want I want to say witch, but any wizard to really be standing out there doing stuff on the battlefield. If you can put that fog up, blocking where their archers would be shooting your wizard while they do their thing to manipulate treasure, buff guys, shoot whatever magical bolts. So valuable. So you're not just sitting out there in the wind to have an arrow just come hit your wizard and be like, oh, well, I got to retreat now. So valuable. And when your guys are just running in to grab the treasure, so they're not just eating like magical shooting arrows and all that. So useful.
Yeah. A lot of the strongest spells that we talked about, you need line of sight for. In fact, almost all of the spells you need line of sight for. So mind control, you can protect against mind control by having a fog up there so they can't see. You can protect against the illusionist swap spell. I forget what it's called at the moment.
Transpose,
yeah. With the thing, you can protect against TK, telekinesis, because they need line of sight towards the treasure. You can put that fog out. So, like, you want that treasure? Come and get it now. You can't just do shenanigans, which you literally did in last game where my guy was running after your guy. You just kept on dragging the treasure towards him. I was like, damn it.
But if you could have put a fog down, you could have put a whole end to that. You're like, I fogged just on the other side of that treasure. No more telekinesis for you.
Yep. Instead, I left my guy, but then you just kept on pulling, and I'm like, oh, god damn it. It's terrible. Uh-huh. You ended up getting the treasure in the end, which is the most annoying part. I've been waiting to reveal
my powers. You can't show your opponents all your powers in the first game.
I had, to, Yeah, I had to deal with another side because the mission had a whole bunch of monster spawns, so I couldn't end up
couldn't spare more guys people. To chase it down.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's a great spell. How would you rate it?
You can build a game plan around this thing. Like
you can definitely build a
game plan. You build so many game plans around this.
I'd say A2. There are certain things that make it, I think, overall not as strong as in the first edition. First edition, this is like S tier, but there's a lot of ways that it's not that fog is necessarily weaker, although it's slightly weaker because it goes away on a 1-4 instead of 1-2 than the first edition. But also the game plays differently than the first edition, where a fog, where there's a lot more shooting basically. Now there's not as much shooting,
yes,
it's more wizards. Even though wizard spells are stronger, archers are less prevalent. So fog is not as strong as it used to be. It also disappears faster. So I'd say this one has dropped a decent amount compared to the first game where it was one of the top spells. But I think it's still solid A. I got a question. This is besides the point, but fog or wall, which one do you like more?
I like wall because, as you said, I don't play as harshly confrontational, so I don't want the guys just rushing through. I want to be like, you've got to add a couple more inches to your move to get to me.
Yep.
Whereas fog, you're like, no, let's play aggressively. I'll put the fog up. I'll run my fighters in behind it. And if you think we're going to fight over this treasure, I'll bust through the fog and we're having a huge fight. It's more aggressive. It's the more aggressive version of playing the game.
I'd say wall has become stronger in this edition as well. Because there's more melee, again, because of the change in play, and also because, I don't know if this is a typo or not, but wall, you don't have to roll for the first turn for some reason.
Yeah, well.
Which makes no sense. Like, you should be rolling at the end of that turn, just like all the other ones, but right now, you get a free turn with wall, which is stupid. All right.
Yeah.
But also makes wall stupid good. So, the balance.
Yes.
All right. The next one is Mud. This is a TN10 line of sight, really simple. You choose a point on the ground, and anything within three inches of it is rough ground. So, so it's basically a 6-inch diameter circle of rough ground.
Yeah, so rough ground causes guys to have to spend double the movement to go across it.
Yep. So what do you think?
We just talked about wall and fog a lot.
Uh-huh.
This is obviously below the level of those in terms of manipulating the battlefield.
Yeah, because there's spells that allow you to get around it, like illusionist spell, leap. Certain animals can get through it. So.
Mm-hmm.
And treasure.
It's like for B spells, I commonly feel like you need to be able to build a game plan around them, or at least they're part of your game plan. My issue with fog is I don't think you can really rely on it as a component of a game plan. Like, it's a bit too corner. So
what, fog?
Fog's game money for game plans. Mud, I find it very hard to slot it into making a game plan. So I think just based on that criteria, I've got to give it a C. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad spell and you would never cast it, because it's definitely not one of that category, but I just, it lacks that.
It feels more situational for you.
It's too situational to game plan around, so I'm giving it a C. I don't want to, but like that's.
Yeah, I could see. To me, I put this as, so here's the thing. There's so many good witch spells.
Mm-hmm.
Mud seems like it's decent, and I've heard that people use it. I don't think we've ever seen it cast in the game. At least I've never seen it cast in the game. So I don't know how good it is. So I put a question mark B. Like, most of these spells, actually, I've seen in the game. But Mud, I have not. And so I think this might be, like,
There's other ways to tie the guys up by, like, sending an imp near them, by, like, using the bones of the earth near them to slow them down.
But also, especially, 6 inches is a big zone. Mm. And so this can really stop people from running away. And I feel like I've been in situations where that matters a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that being good. But again, this goes in with aggressive play, right, getting in there earlier. And I just, when I do a witch, I could see this, and if I play a witch and I took mud, I could see this being a B spell. Because I think that there's a lot of things where it will come into play. It slows the enemy from getting to treasure and also can slow them from getting away from treasure. Both of those things are a big deal. And especially now, like, we generally play, as Frostgrave is supposed to be played, with tons of terrain. So 6 inches, you can, that's like the width of a fog, right? So you can lay out an entire area where there's a gap where they have to go through the mud to get there or get back. So I feel like it will, and there's only 2 spellcasters, right? So I feel like it's probably a B, but again, because I haven't really seen it, I cannot say for sure.
So the only game plan I can think of right now with Witch is you take the animal companion, you send the bear at like a whole bunch of their dudes, and they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna gang up on the bear and beat them down, get through and get to the treasure. And you're like, oh yeah, we're fighting in this like narrow choke point that's about 6 inches. Here's where the bear is going to come out and intercept you. And you drop the mud right in there. And they're like, oh, I can win the fight, push off the bear and run away. You're like, no, you can't run now because this thing's all mudded. And I've actually gone off to do something somewhere else. So you have your bear, your mud, and then you kind of ignore that corner and just let them get bogged down literally by all that. So
yeah, if you're a mud and a treasure, it's half and half.
Yeah, exactly. So if they want to get the treasure from over there,
we're moving at the minimum distance, which I believe is 2 inches, right? I think there's an absolute minimum of 2 inches. Mm-hmm. So like even a thief at seven movement, he's still moving at 2 inches basically. So
if you put that bear in front of the treasure, they eventually kill the bear, then they move to the treasure, then they get the treasure, then they got to go back through the mud. It could be a long time for them to try and take like one treasure from that side of the board that you've literally guarded with just a mud and a bear.
Yes, exactly. Of course, when you're talking about just, again, the idea of you need the mud to affect multiple people, right? Because if you're only affecting one guy, then it makes sense for the opponent spellcaster to just cast a spell which leaps the guy, does something that cancels out the mud.
Yep.
But when you're affecting multiple guys, that's where I feel like mud could possibly be like a B spell. Maybe it's a very solid B spell. We'd have to see. The only thing is mud also affects you. So you have to be able to work around it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm still seeing this one.
Sure.
Especially if you don't play with enough terrain, then you just walk around it.
Yes, that's true. If you have a light terrain board, actually, if mud, in my opinion, I haven't played it yet, but I feel like mud should be a B. If it ends up being a C, it probably means you don't have enough terrain on the board. That's my guess, but we'll have to see it. Again, haven't seen it played. Could be amazing. Who knows? Maybe it's an A. Who knows?
Yep. Okay, last one.
All right. Poison Dart. TN10 line of sight. Make a +3 poison shooting attack, which is not magic, against a figure. So poison means that if they take any damage, they are reduced to 1 action for the rest of the game unless they are healed by either a potion or a heal spell. What do you think?
So this kind of feels like it has a bit of the effect of blinding light going on in it.
Yeah, in some ways.
And it's not magic. So like A tier shooting spells, I want magic. Like, because when enemies appear that are, I want to call them incorporeal, but they're just immune to non-magic shooting. That you need those spells badly to deal with those. So this is not one of those A-level shooting attacks, that's for sure. But it has like a combination of 2 things going on.
Yep.
So I feel like I could give this a B. Nobody ever uses it. I mean, I've seen it used. Yeah, it's not the worst shooting spell, but it's again not the best shooting spell.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like it's a B, whatever.
Sure. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. I kind of rate it as a C.
I wanted to give it a C before too, but when I realized like the blinding light effect to it, you're like.
But you do have to damage them. So yeah. I guess maybe it is a B. Like when you think about +3, the issue was the +3, right? So obviously if it was +5, it would actually be really good.
Yeah.
But at +3, you need to crack armor, but technically you only need to crack it by 1, right? So normally if you did like a poison dart or any of the other damage spells and you did 1 damage, you'd be like, wow, that's a waste. But for Poison Dart, if you did that one damage, you're happy because they're poisoned. So maybe it is a B, actually. The only thing is, generally, knights, bears, things with high armor, this is not nearly as good because oftentimes you're either doing no damage, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, there is that period where you just plink him for one damage, and then they move half speed. Actually, maybe
like if you did this to a wizard or apprentice, they would almost be table flipping at that point.
Oh my god, you're right.
Because you can't get away. You're like, oh, I need to cast spells, and then just move away. You're like, can't do that anymore. Ah.
They're just casting spells, and then I don't know how do they.
And you can't dispel it either. You're like, I brought Spell Eater. You're like, yeah, it doesn't matter. You can't get that off of you. You
can't dispel it. It's an actual poison.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's only when I compare this to like the blending effect combo.
The only thing is when I've seen it cast, I wasn't that impressed, but maybe I haven't seen it enough. So you're right. Like from the way you're talking and the way it should play out, I should probably take a second look. Maybe I'll take a witch with mud, poison dart, and curse, and we'll see how. Mud, poison dart, and familiar, and see how the witch does. Maybe it'll be fine.
I don't know about familiar. I'd feel more like imp.
Familiar is good. We said it's good. It's just a solid.
No. We said we need the bear. We talked about you need the bear to fight in the mud pit, and you should probably just mod it like a pig.
But having a poison dart with it as well and getting through mud with when you're poisoned, you're basically done. All game getting out of the 6 inches.
Yeah, but no, you gotta take the animal companion, but then model the bear as a pig, and then literally your enemy has to fight in the pig style with a pig.
Okay, you changed my mind. I think it probably is a B. It's just when I've seen it thing, it's just plinks off a lot, cancels out like one guy, but the one guy can still make it, right? Because it's only just one less action, right? So you want to do this to the people who are running away with treasure or certain guys, right?
Can you take wizard eye with witch? We're obviously talking about a corner case build, not our real build here. So you can get wizard eye from somewhere with the witch, can't you?
Actually, and there's a lot of units that, especially the units that just want to grab it and run away, where poison dart makes sense, right? It's just the main fighters probably care less about poison dart because they're basically the only thing they care about the two actions is getting there, right?
Yeah, like if they have a ranger and they're trying to just move and then move and shoot you on the way out with the treasure, they're gonna be like, ugh, this thing's now. Yeah. Out of commission, basically.
Yeah, archer. Nice. Oh, actually, even a crossbowman.
They can't reload anymore.
Although you have to, you need to cast poison dart, and your apprentice needs to cast a fog so that you don't get shot by the thing.
Every other turn, yeah, you still don't get shot, you know.
Okay, all right.
So that was our alt build of the wizards. Is your poison dart, mud, and animal companion? The edgy build. Anyways, let's get back to the real build.
So yeah, so it's an interesting thing. I think you're right. Maybe it is a B. TN10, cast 3, cast it all the way through. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
All right. So next, those are all the witch spells. We'll go to the aligned spells now that might work with the witch. Now the witch has some pretty good aligned schools. Enchanter, Necromancer, and Summoner.
Yep.
All right, you want to start?
Sure. So the Enchanter ones that really stood out, which stand out every time, to me are Grenade, Strength, and actually Telekinesis. Because we talked about before, you put the fog down, you telekinesis the treasure back to you. You don't even need fast guys to run over there. You can just have your slow guys run over there and then, you know, put a bear in between possibly. So they got to get through the bear first. But when it came down to choosing out of the three of those, I think I would go Grenade. Mm-hmm. Because also if they decide to team up on your bear, the grenade goes into where the bear is and you're like, the bear lives or the bear dies. You know, that's fine.
Yep. And bear also has high armor, so less likely damage. Although he's large, so he does get -2 fight to avoid it entirely.
Oh, well, you don't care. You just want to hit their guys who teamed up on the bear. And it gives you a magic shooting attack. So that was my go-to for the Enchanter. What did you think of for the Enchanters?
Same thing, except I added Enchant Weapon because I always enchant Weapon. Enchant Weapon is always strong. You can deal with things that are immune to magic. You can just give it to people to make people dodge it. The only issue is you can't cast it on the bear, but Again, still a strong thing.
Yeah,
in
it's
general,
a good,
I do like grenade.
It's a good alternative to grenade because you still get access to magic weapons, so it's a choice. But so you, yep. Which one would you choose in the end? Sorry.
My two top are grenade and strength.
Yeah.
And then TK. Those are my top three.
Mm-hmm.
In that order.
Okay.
All right.
Necromancer.
So this is probably going to be very similar to what you've heard before. Raise Zombie, Spell Eater, and Bones of the Earth. Raise Zombie, because you have an extra guy always to go and pick up treasure and just walk off or just tie people up. Spell Eater, because the spell is amazing even while taking that one damage. And if you have an animal companion, you probably want this, so when they try to control your animal companion, you can dispel it, unless you take control animal, which does the same thing for your bear. But Spell Eater is out, you know, doesn't take a witch slot, and it works on a whole bunch of other things. And the last one is Bones of the Earth, because it slows people down. Anything else that you wanted?
Nope, I didn't go for as many. I just went for Raise Zombie and Spell Eater as my preferred thoughts. Did you have a go-to amongst your four?
Yep, Spell Eater. Spell's too strong.
I know. I want to go Zombie because I just want to cast a whole bunch of out-of-game stuff.
Yeah. So. Zombies are always strong. Just to me, Spell Eater, if you're taking a bear, you need the ability to dispel it. You don't need it. But it's very strong. And Spell Eater works on so many things, like mind control, all these kind of things. Great spell. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think the witch is, at least how I would play the witch, it's not going to be as aggressive. So maybe you're not getting into the range where you're going to really be worried about the Spell Eater as much or having to dispel stuff. I don't know. I think I could get away without it.
It's a line where you only need a 14, I would always take Spell Eater.
Yeah, like or they try and cast a wall to get in your way, you just...
Yep, get out of here. Spell Eater and Dispel, both strong spells.
I think the Witch can handle going without Spell Eater or Dispel. I think the Witch can handle it better than other ones, anyhow.
That's fair. That is fair. All right, next one is Summoner.
Yep. So I think I've played Witch before with an Imp to just harass people because it's funny when you make the imp appear and they think they're just going to run off in some corner. And then they have an imp chasing them and it's really annoying for them to get the treasure off. And the other one was Leap, because Leap is just good to get the treasure for yourself.
Sure.
Honestly though, like if you're not just trying to be a nuisance to your opponent and you kind of want to win and get the treasure, you take Leap. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the summoner stuff?
Yeah, I did Leap and Possess.
Hmm.
So again, Possess is really strong, except that you can get control because you have Worse Will or spells that affect you. So again, this is kind of a thing where you take Spell Eater, Possess. Possess is just a solid spell, assuming you can dispel things in your back pocket. And so the fact that Witch can take both, you know, Spell Eater and Possess is a great combo. But Leap is just one of the best spells in the game. So it's hard. It depends on your build, but Leap is, I don't know, 90% of the builds. Possess would be like 10% of the builds.
Yeah, so we're not going to do our summoner build again and build the demon bear.
I am. I have a list.
Oh, you have a list for the demon bear again. Okay. Yeah. So demon bearing is list. I think it needs mud too. Demon pig here. Got to model
it. All right.
That way.
All right. So the other spells from other schools.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking?
So what I've done so far, or a lot of the choices so far, seem to be a lot of out-of-game spells. Because we're looking at Animal Companion being good, we're looking at Brew Potion being good, maybe I'm raising a zombie out of the game. Lots of spells that I've gone to so far are out-of-game. So now I've got to be looking towards spells, you know, that are being done during the game, because I've got to have something. Yep.
There's only spells you want to spam.
So... honestly, because the witch spells are so good, I could just kind of ignore some things. You get to Chronomancer, Fleet Feet, possibly good. But if we're taking Leap already, maybe you can skip that.
Yeah.
But if you want Imp instead for some reason, maybe you need to get yourself some Fleet Feet going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then Illusionist, maybe it's just because Illusionist is just good. I'm looking at Beauty or Fool's Gold.
Yep.
As good ones. Like I said before,
the witch with the beauty charm is like, it's very, it's very common trope in
yeah, exactly. Stories. I did it last campaign. I did it. It paid off really well because you can stand there in the open. And they're like, oh, I'm going to shoot your witch. It's like, I rolled up an 18 earlier for that. You sure you want to do that? And they're like, no. Like, yeah, there you go.
Might as well try, but
too hot for you to handle. But honestly, it's really themey, so I would say you should do that. But because of how we talked about this build, I don't know if the witch really needs to stand out in the open. Like maybe you've got fog too. So fool's gold to have your opponent just drop the stupid treasure and then take it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll go over what I would take later after I just talk about good ones. And then I kind of ignored Sigilist and Thaumaturge. Blinding Light, because maybe if you're not taking Poison Dart, you just blind them, they're crap at fighting, and your bear mauls them, and then you laugh.
I agree.
All right. Did you have some more in addition to that you think are worth considering?
You mentioned all of the spells that I chose, which was Fleet Feet, Fool's Gold, Blinding Light, except for I did look at Wizard Eye, so that... Mm-hmm. You don't have to look at things, right? So you can cast things without seeing them, and mind control, because mind control is just strong. And then you all the key thing is curse and mind control is pretty good.
Feel bad about taking mind control with every wizard. Gotta skip it. Wizards.
The only thing is good. You need 16 don't need to... or something like that.
That's probably why.
It's why I generally probably would do Wizard Eye, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So builds. I have two builds. How many builds do you have? One build?
Yeah, we talked about the alternative build, but
sure. I'll do the bear build first, and then we'll go and do the other builds that we have. All right. So my bear build is going to be similar to a demon bear, because again, aligned schools, right? So you take animal companion, and then brew potion, because you can brew strength potions.
Then you drink that?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Let me go through the entire list and we'll talk about that. Then you take strength and possess. And then you have...
From the witch spells, we've got animal companion, brew potion, and...
And what's can the other witch spell? Control animal or curse. Or you can actually take mud. Sure, let's take mud.
Yeah.
Fine, take mud as a third one. And then you take Spell Eater, like I said, so that even though they have possession on your bear, you can dispel everything. And then your last two are Fleet Feet and Fool's Gold. So you're trying to slow them down. So this one you can't really speed up except for Fleet Feet, but you basically super buff up your bear. So he moves fast, and so he gets Strength, which is +2, 6. Mm-hmm. Possession is +2, 8. And then brew potion, you can brew strength potion. And if you take an apothecary can feed someone else a potion. So the first thing every game, if you've brewed your potion of strength, is your apothecary goes and feeds the potion into the bear. So you have a fight 9 bear. And
honestly,
fight 9, armor 13, 8 moving bear. And he just runs at them. Unfortunately, only one of those bears is going to have it, but it's pretty funny to have that.
Honestly, I think it's just one of the bears remodels a pig that's going to fight in the mud, and this should just be called the pigsty build. Like,
all right, yes. And then you fool's gold, and whenever they get the treasure, you basically make them drop the treasure into the mud and try to get them to come out.
No, they drop it right outside because it's 4 inches.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. And they have to fight the pig in the mud. And you're like,
yes. So actually, a lot of the spells inside, you actually kind of want to reduce Fleet Feet and Fool's Gold to make them more consistent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the other things you're just getting to try to, because mud is TN10, animal companions TN10, right? Brew potion, I guess TN12. You might want to increase it, but yeah. So overall, that is the mud bear. Well, it's not a pig, right? But yeah. So,
it's the pig's die, because you're fighting in the pig's of your die. Deep
bear in which I believe it's similar. I think the other one is, I had was you give the bear, you cast a spell on it. But this one, because the potion gives the plus one strength, it's you can get your demon bear up running faster than the other one, where you're basically casting all of your spells all game on the bear. This mm-hmm. one, technically, you probably just need strength and possession to get your bear up and running. And then the potion throws him. Or if you have multiple leap potions.
Yep. Wouldn't go leap from summoner? And ignore fleet feet?
You need possess.
No. What?
You need possess.
Oh, yeah.
So this is why I think probably your bear, you probably want your demon bear in summoner because you can get the leap. So you do that and you leap them through. Mm-hmm. But this is another fun way to try and do bear. The bear is technically similar strength, gets up and running faster, but you know, leaping your bear into the middle of combat makes him immediately impactful, right? Probably even though you're spending more spells on your bear is higher impact, gets into the place more likely.
Yeah, I just feel like fleet feet's probably better for once you fool's gold. Someone with fleet feet just takes it. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do. Fleet Feet and Mud seems like a good combo. Not Fleet Feet. Yeah. Fleet Feet, Mud, and Fool's Gold all seem like a good combo. That's what I'm saying! I'm telling you, Mud. Or TK, actually. TK and Mud seems good, too.
Or even Leap and Mud, anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, what is your... So that's the bear thing, because we're obsessed with super bears. But okay. What is your other type?
So I think I'll just call this the normal build. Sure. So obviously we talked about how the bear is good, so animal companion, then brew potion to like have good potions and just straight cash. Mm-hmm. Then fog, because fog is good for manipulating the battlefield, so those are the three witch ones. Then going on to the enchanter, go grenade for a good solid shooting spell. Necromancer, raise zombie, because I mean you've got bears that can't pick up treasure, but a zombie could pick up the treasure. And also, you could just fry it with a grenade, too.
Yep.
Because I think you can get away without... I don't think the witch plays so aggressively that, like, you could just not spell eater. And then over to the summoner, take leap, because you still want to jump the bear over a wall, possibly, and it just think they couldn't be accessed, or you're just trying to get treasure back as normal. Leap, so good all the time. Then getting over, as I said before, because we're already into lots of... There's three out-of-game spells there right now, only leaving you with five spells total. So you better have something to cast in the game at this point. So I would go with Beauty or Fool's Gold. I have a real problem choosing between.
Beauty, I think, is more consistent because Fool's Gold, you have one ability to cast, and thing is plus four, right? It's a lot harder to cast Fool's Gold, whereas Beauty, you can just cast it at any time, right?
And you fail,
it's not a big deal.
Yeah, if you fail on a 10, you don't care because you never wanted a 10. You want 14
you get
or more.
14. It's, well, yeah. 14 is the default, so you could cut for four, but again, you don't. It's not as critical to cast it at a critical time, and you can just cast it on the first turns.
Yeah, so because you have grenade, you might be a bit aggressive. So yeah, the try hard build would have Beauty, I guess. And then over the Thaumaturge for Blinding Light.
Similar. It's kind of similar. My witch is Animal Companion and Brew Potion, because those are just money. With Brew Potion, literally. And then Curse. I take Curse because I just think it's really strong. With Grenade. And Spell Eater, because I think Spell Eater is just a really solid overall. And then a Leap, because, again, like you said, just getting around is awesome. And then I did take Blinding Light, because it's a great solid spell, and combining with Curse and gives you a lot of ability to blind people permanently, right? If you're worried about a guy breaking out, you can Curse and Blinding Light him. And remember, they have to roll those two spells separately, right? So although I wonder what happens, it doesn't apply to I think Blinding Light, because I think Blinding Light is that end of turn, or is that end of it's end of turn. I don't know how it works when you decide which one goes off first, because the curse will affect Blinding Light, right? But I don't know which one you roll for first. Maybe it's when you cast them. I'll probably look up the FAQ or something to see how that is. And then the last spell is Wizard Eye instead of Beauty. Well, yeah, to protect my wizard, although you could do Beauty instead. Right, so Beauty just means you're walking out there. Wizard Eye means you cast there, and then you can look around the main board without actually having to be there. So either of those are fine. But the last spell is basically to protect yourself.
Yep.
I like Wizard Eye. I probably prefer Wizard Eye because you're fully protected. But it doesn't have as much versatility when you've actually cast it, because you get an area. Oh, maybe. It depends. But yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, that's my build. I think it's a pretty normal build, does a little bit of everything. The idea is curse and using those other spells so that you can the other spells hit harder.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So warband builds then. What do you lean towards given these spells?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned the apothecary, right, is a great guy to have because he can, you know, the potions you brew, he can feed them to other people. So I would actually take an apothecary even in the normal build instead of the normal treasure hunter, which is not a treasure hunter, the normal man-at-arms, which is what I would normally take in another warband. But because you're brewing potions, having the apothecary be able to give another person a potion and have them feed it is really strong with that. And then the other two are Treasure Hunter and Ranger, which is pretty normal. Again, like you talked about, Treasure Hunter is because he's fast picks up treasure, decent, like strong thing. And then because you have the bears, you already have your hard-hitting guys, right, as your bears. Yep. So your Treasure Hunter is more about speed, and Ranger is, you know, speed and can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So how about you?
Yeah, I think I lean the same direction. I would honestly actually take an apothecary too in this sort of build.
Yep.
Because they have like double function now. They're kind of just going to be like a slower version of the thief for you. They're probably going to be the one who grabs the treasure and runs off, yeah, because you've taken up your standard soldier slots with bears. And honestly, yes, once they've done their mission of healing somebody and like using that potion, you're fine, yeah, with them just walking off with the treasure because, yeah, their job is done. Then for the specialist soldiers,
just don't get your treasure get stolen by TK, because you're going to leave it a little bit. Like for the first couple of turns, because it generally takes 3 or 4 turns before you want to use the healing potion.
Yeah. So you better get the treasure, come back, and then do something with the potion.
Yeah,
get back
make sure the treasure is not stolen from under your nose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they could get killed. And then I would probably lean towards 3 shooters. I mean, you can't buy them all to begin with, but because if you've got fog, well, you've got grenade too, so you can lay down some pretty good shooting pain. You're not shooting across the board, and your bears are going to deliver your punches, like you said. So you don't need to rely on knights and templars quite as much. So honestly, I could see myself trying to build towards 3 shooters. How many you start with? I don't know. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm. And what you do the shooting because they're around your leader. So the 3 shooters shoot, and then you lay the fog to protect them.
You lay the fog to protect the guys you don't want to get shot, probably. Or just the angle you think their shooters are coming from. You just kind of block that off, and where their guys have to run at you, you just start gunning them down with your grenades. And
in between their shooters and the front line. And then you just light up the front line. Fair enough.
Or if they try and flank you with shooters, you're like, no, just block it off.
Good idea. Yeah, so overall, I think Witch has so many good spells.
Yeah.
Like, I think I don't think they have any C spells, is that even
we named
it. Is that the first one without any C spells?
I thought we named we upgraded one.
Yeah, I was gonna say I thought Mud was B.
I think Familiar
said C, and then I thought Poison Dart was C, and then you said was B. So I upgraded Poison Dart to a B. And I think after talking about it and the fact that we want to put Mud into a thing, I think Mud is probably a B too. We just haven't seen it, right?
Yeah, so I put Mud in B category to start with. It's just the Familiar I feel like might be a C still.
No way. Familiar is definitely a solid B because you're always happy to have it.
Happy to have it. Still a C for me. B, I want game plans. B, I demand a game plan. There's no game plan around Familiar.
I disagree. I think that's against what our rating system was. I think C is supposed to be marginal. But you're always happy to have familiar, so like how can that be a C?
Yeah, yeah. Getting plus two like
health. Plus two health is good.
Yeah. It's not good enough though. And gotta give something C's.
Out of game and plus two health. I think that's good.
We've given too many high ratings. Somebody's got to get a C here.
No, you're just doing that because you don't like the fact that Witch has only A and B spells, I think. I think if they had another C or even an F spell, I think you'd be fine to give a familiar a B. I think you are trying to grade the Witch class of mm-hmm. spells on a bell curve. Nobody. They're like, well, they can't.
Nobody else.
And this is like the weakest one. So this must be a C now.
Nobody else is going to, no other school is going to take this one.
All right. So overall, what do you think about the Witch?
A. Easy A. Cause
yes, I agree.
The solid spells are spells. So solid.
Yeah, we had Animal Companion, which was A+. We have Fog, which is great. Brew Potion, which is 200 gold. Like, this is a solid A. Good aligned spells. Enchanter, mm-hmm. Necromancer, and Summoner. Those are really good. There's a lot of cheaper spells. So the crazy thing is, once you start finding tomes, those are good tomes for Enchanter, Necromancer, and Summoner, right? So you can immediately get a lot of spells where you didn't start with, like, that are useful, right? All of your witch spells almost that you get are going to be useful if you get a tome for it, including familiar. Enchanter, Necromancer have so many spells that you kind of want, and Summoner as well. Like you said, like this is a really solid guy, especially as you level him up.
Yeah, and like I don't see huge weaknesses for the witch either. Like if they decide to run at you and decide to have a face-to-face just punched out battle, you're buffing your guys, you're leaping your guys. Like you mm-hmm. can go head-to-head and just grind it out in the middle match.
Yep.
If they want to have a shoot-it-out match, you've got decent ability to lay down shooting, control the shooting lanes with Fog.
Yep.
You're good at the shooting game. You're good at the treasure manipulation. You're okay at the treasure manipulation.
You do have Enchanter, and you do have Summoner. So you have Leap, which allows mm-hmm. you to get there, and you have Enchanter, which allows you to get TK if you're able to get it. But you're right. The biggest thing to me is that the illusionist spells mm-hmm. are not aligned, and illusionist is the other, I feel like, to me, looking through all the spells, probably the strongest class, and you're unaligned with them. So mm-hmm. that is a somewhat of a negative, but we already said UD is one and you can still take it. That's the beauty of Frostgrave. You can still take the spells that are not fully aligned and still use them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the one that Witch is against?
Soothsayer.
Oh shit. Maybe I can't take Wizard Eye. Then I have to take Beauty.
Yeah, and you got no mind control. Like I can see
it. You're right. Screw Wizard Eye, which is the one I normally take. Take Beauty instead. That's probably makes sense.
You have to go a little harder. You can't just totally stay in the back.
So I gotta change mine. Yeah, Beauty. Gotta use Beauty instead.
Okay, go with the proper thematic one. Yeah, I can see if somebody was doing a build where they were trying to shift treasure around.
I thought for sure I had Wizard Eye with my Witch, but I must have confused it with my Illusionist.
Whatever you played last time you had, whatever. Whatever you played last time you had it.
Yeah, but I wasn't the Witch. I played Witch last time, mm-hmm. so before that.
Yeah, I can see a Wizard who's playing a lot about like transposing treasure, like your guys that have treasure, playing mind control on you. I can see that giving the Witch a bit of an issue.
But you have Necromancer in Alliance. You can just take Spell Eater. That's what I'm saying. That's why
I think... Yeah, that might be why you need Spell Eater, because that's the one... That's the type of gameplay that can really cause you problems.
Yeah.
So maybe you need
solution.
To be...
Yeah.
You need to be going for that, for the solution to not, like...
Yep.
Not make that a problem.
Yeah, so overall, Witch is really solid. Lots of things that kind of work together. Great. Great school, and that is the last school. I think this is probably my favorite school.
I played it in our last campaign with Maze of Malkor, and after going through all of this, I feel like I played it wrong. So all I did was just make bears and put strength on them. And the next person who was going to battle, they got strength. Who else is going to battle next day? I hear some strength for you.
Huh.
I wasn't doing very that was not taking advantage of all the things you can do. I didn't have a leap.
Did you get any other skill spells from the tomes from Witch or the other ones?
Not that were useful. I think I did take Spell Eater, though. Like, Spell Eater, definitely. I would have been killed repeatedly without a Spell Eater. So maybe we shouldn't be raising zombies, but whatever. Yeah, no, okay, you have to be taking Spell Eater, maybe. Okay, sure.
Yeah. I think Spell Eater, if you're having the animal companions, you need that backup. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, yeah. I didn't have Beauty when I read my last Witch, but
I did. Probably should have.
Maybe I got a tome for Wizard Eye and just reduced it. I don't remember. Anyways, that is the Witch. If you guys have any other thoughts about the Witch or any of the other schools and you want to give us a shout, send us some emails at contact@diceovereverything.com.
Or find us on Facebook. We're Dice Over Everything.
This is being Alan.
It's been Brandon.
Bye.